appreciate your prayers this morning, and please pray for us too as we get ready to travel out of here Tuesday. We've enjoyed our time out here. This is why I love my Savior, why I love to follow Him, because He died my soul to ransom, and He washed me from my sins. I think about that song, and it strikes in my heart, how did that happen? How did God save my soul? How did He deliver me?
Yes.
Today's message is one that's really dear to my heart, I guess. You know, if it wasn't for God's Word,
yes,
how would I ever gotten saved?
Right.
If He hadn't have told me that He would deliver me, that He would forgive me, that He would cleanse me and purify me and lead me along the path of righteousness, if he hadn't have said those things to me, how would I have ever gotten saved? How would I have even found this place that I'm in today? And it's been that way all along. That God spoke, and when people were willing to follow what God had said, He brought them into a safe place, delivered them, gave them a land to dwell in. God's Word is valuable. It's what we stand on. If it wasn't for God's Word, we wouldn't have anything but sinking sand to stand on. Because God's Word never changes. He is the same. If He said it, He'll do it. But I'm afraid that from the beginning of time, there's been an attack upon God's Word.
Yes.
And an attack upon God's Word is an attack upon God.
It's true.
The devil knows that if he can get us just to a little bit, just a little bit, question the Word of God, he gets a foothold in our lives.
True.
Let me ask you this. Is the Bible God's Word?
Yes, it is.
How much of it is God's Word? Because if we can say that this verse, one verse, isn't God's Word, doesn't belong there, to me, that compromises the whole thing. To question one verse and say that it doesn't belong there, it doesn't mean we shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah.
Is questioning all of God's Word. Yes. The Scripture says that all Scripture is inspired of God and given for, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness.
That's right.
That the man of God may be thoroughly equipped to all good works. It's all the Scripture.
Yes.
Every bit of it. Now, we may not understand every bit of it. We may not have the knowledge or the understanding of every verse. But we should be able to stand and say, I know it's true.
Yes.
I know it's right. I know that God has said it. And I pray that He'll reveal it to me, how it's true or why it's true. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. It's so important that we stand on the Word of God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Hath God said? Truth of the matter is that God did say that they could eat of every tree of the garden. But he told them not to eat of one specific tree. And the devil forgot to bring that little added statement in there. Yeah, they could have eaten of any tree in the garden, and they did. But they were told not to eat of one of the trees of the garden. But what draws my attention in this scripture is that Satan says, "Hath God said?" And I believe that he says that to us constantly and has said it throughout time. Hath God really said? Question. Trying to get us to question the Word of God. To question the faithfulness of God, the commands of God. Any foothold that he can get in there and cause us to wonder or to question God's faithfulness. If I was to say, yeah, I know the scripture says, but I just don't think God can forgive me. I've done too many bad things. I just don't think he can do it. I can't get saved unless I believe it. I can't get saved unless I'm willing to accept it. That God has said he will. And he's faithful to do what he says.
Yes, he is.
And that's why it's so important that we don't take from God's word. Because just taking that one statement away takes away my salvation.
Yes.
I can't be saved without knowing that God will forgive me of my sins.
Yeah, that's right.
Hath God said? I think that there's an attack on the Christian faith.
Yes, that
is. On belief in Jesus Christ. On the belief of God's word. One of the things that I appreciate about the church is that it stands on God's word.
Yes.
If you could show us what the scripture says, that's what we stand on. We don't need a creed. We don't need a list of things that says this, this, and this, and this, and this. All we have to say is we believe in the word of God. And we stand on the Word of God.
Yes.
And what the Word of God says, that's what we believe.
Yes, Lord.
But I think that there's an attack on the Word of God.
Yes.
And on our faith. A subtle attack. That's been going on from Genesis. Let's look in Joshua. Chapter 1. The Lord has brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and has brought them into the land of promise and has done many miracles and great things along the way. Fed them when they were hungry and gave them water when they were thirsty and protected them. It says in one place that not even the soles of their shoes wore out. So much so that the Lord provided for their needs. And so here they are in the land, and Joshua presents them with this. Only be thou strong and very courageous, in verse 7, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Yes.
Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. If we're following the way that he has prepared for us, if we do what he has asked us to do and commanded us to do. And it's not an issue about the law itself. It's about the commands of God. The commands of God. When the Lord commands it, that is the law within us that we are to follow. Every bit of it. Again, is the scriptures part of God's word or all of God's word? Do we follow part of it or all of it? This says all. If you want to be successful, if you want to be prosperous in your life as a Christian, as a believer, follow it all. Don't hold back. Don't let stuff slide. Stand firm on what God has said.
Yes.
Because there's an attack
on
your faith.
Yes, there is.
There's an attack on your relationship with the Lord.
Yes.
Hath God really said?
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that seem really insignificant to you? Has he really said? Does that really matter? I think about a scripture where a prophet came up to a man and said, "Smite me." And the man was like, "No, I'm not smiting you." He said, "Okay, well, the Lord's going to basically, I think he died over it." He went to another man, "Smite me." And so he did. He popped him. And the Lord had a word for him as a result of that. You could say, well, why should I smite you? Because God said to, by the mouth of the prophet, he said to. And so there are things that the Lord can tell us to do, things that we may not understand why. We may not comprehend the significance of it. But when we can stand firm and believe that God is faithful and he's good and he knows what he's talking about, we can do what he says.
Yes, amen.
I think of a scripture where he says, "My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And my ways are higher than your ways." So that means to me that when God says, "I think this," I should just surrender my thoughts to him. Because his thoughts are better than my thoughts. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are better than my ways. May I just follow the way of the Lord.
Amen.
My ways get me into trouble.
True.
Joshua 24. We're going to start in verse 14. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. For if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." Verse 20. "If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt, and consume you after that ye have done. After that he hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses. Now therefore put away," said he, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." The Lord delivered them, drew them out of Egypt, walked them about for 40 years, and they finally enter the land. And what strikes me about these scriptures is that they still had the gods of the land with them.
Yes.
They've been carrying them around all this time. You know, the devil's fine with us serving the Lord. He's all right with that. But just mix in a little bit of other stuff. Just mix it up a little. Maybe just acknowledge that we're serving God too. I think about how the Lord was adamant for them not to intermingle with the people of the other lands. He said, they're going to draw you away.
Yes.
And what it does is it intermingles their thoughts, their beliefs, their ideas about things that intermingle.
Yes.
They're in our ear. Well, you know, this is good and this is right and this is okay. And they're in your ear long enough.
Yes.
Heard a message recently about Solomon and how he had so many wives from other nations and other serving other gods. And eventually they turned his heart away. From the Lord. Turned his heart away from the truth. Through the process of time.
Yes.
I believe that we live in a time that is still happening that way.
Yes.
If they can just get in there a little bit. If they can just taint the scripture a little bit. Taint the word of God some. Water it down a little. Take a little bit of the stress off of it, the strength of it. Weaken it down some. That's how the devil will get a foothold into our hearts and our minds. Eve was deceived. The devil was subtle.
Yes.
He tricked her into it. She was deceived. Can we be deceived? We can be deceived. The scripture says that lest we deceive ourselves, even. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Verse 1. This is a warning that the Lord gave them. He says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. A prophet comes in among us. And says, hey, let's go serve other gods. Maybe he performs a miracle. Maybe he does something spectacular. And says, let us go serve other gods. What do we stand on? We stand on God's word. I think of a prophet who went and prophesied against the altar, I think it was Jeroboam. And the Lord told him, I don't want you to go there and come back the same way you came. I want you to go another way. I don't want you to eat and drink in the land. Right? And so the king offers him, hey, come to my house and eat. Nope, the Lord told me not to. He leaves, and another prophet comes to him.
Yes.
And says, hey, an angel told me for you to come to my house and eat and drink.
Yes.
And he consented and went. And through process of time, he died.
Yes.
As a result of that. A prophet told him.
Yes.
Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. When you have God's word, when God has said to you, he's spoken into your heart, you shouldn't allow it to be taken from you. You shouldn't allow someone to come in and taint that and destroy it. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. The Lord has given us the way, and the devil wants us to stray from that way.
Yes.
He wants us to just stray just a little bit.
Yes.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking about hunting, and they were saying that when you're hunting for long distances, 900 yards or whatever it was, just a slight degree off puts you feet off when it gets to the prey that you're shooting at. Just one little, not even a 16th of an inch difference, and it strays the bullet feet when you get out to 100 yards. The devil just needs us to stray a little.
That's right.
He just needs us to waver a little.
Yes.
Because in that, we get off the path, and by the time of process of time, we don't know how far off we can get. 2 Kings chapter 22. Verse 11. This was a king. Let me see. I think Josiah. He was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he wanted to serve the Lord. He wanted to serve God. And so he was having to clean up the temple, and he was making repairs, and he was trying to establish things back to where they were. And in verse 11, "And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. In the process of them cleaning the temple, they found the word of God in there. And they read it. And then they brought it to the king and read it to him. Why is it, do you think, that he rent his clothes?" Because he realized how far they were from what the Word of God had said.
Yes.
He realized how far they had strayed. It was almost like he was hearing the Word of God afresh or anew.
Yes.
Just through a few generations, the Word of God can be tainted in this way, where the people didn't even know what it said anymore in order to follow it. Galatians chapter 5. The Galatians was a church that Paul started, and he taught them the ways of the Lord, and other people came in and started talking to them too, and telling them that they needed to do certain things that Paul hadn't taught them. And this is what Paul tells them: "You did run well," starting in verse 7. "Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaveneth the whole lump." I don't know how much time had transpired from when Paul delivered the gospel to them until the time when others came in and started just getting them off a little bit. But it wasn't very long, I can tell you that. Within the lifespan of Paul, for sure, that he was able to address it in this letter. You did run well. You had a good beginning. You guys were on the way. You were on the path. And you allowed somebody to come in and persuade you of something different than what you had heard or had received. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul himself speaking. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel. I marvel that you have strayed so soon, so quickly. He says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, he includes himself in this, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He even includes himself, saying that even if I stray off and start telling you something different, don't accept it. Though an angel tell you something different, don't accept it. Stand on God's word. We have a privilege that we have the word of God in our hands. We can read it daily and receive from it. We can match up what people say by the word of God and say, you know what, that doesn't line up. That's not the scriptures. I know that you probably have heard people talk and a red flag, they call it, comes up. And you're like, wait a second. That's not God's word. But they're saying it as if it was. We have God's word with us. A great privilege. We heard this morning, a lot went into making this, compiling it. It's valuable. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. What does that mean? I'm not a baker, but you put a little bit of leaven or yeast or whatever it is into a lump of dough, and it's not long before that whole lump is consumed or tainted or... What is that?
Expands
it. Okay. Just a little bit. And he's telling them, just a little bit of leaven is going to affect the gospel of God. It's going to affect God's word. If we allow any little bit to get in there, it's going to cause us to stray off. There's a scripture where the Lord tells them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they were thinking, what does he mean? Why is he talking about bread? We don't have any bread. And he said, beware of the doctrines. Of the, well, he didn't say it. They demised that he meant that. To beware of the doctrines of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Because it was going to taint them.
Yes.
It was going to taint the gospel. It was going to taint the truth. May the Lord help us not to allow what's going on around us to affect our ability to believe the word of God and the gospel which we have received. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. Fornication among them. And they were puffed up about it as if it was not a problem, not a big deal. You know, we would look at that today and think, how is that even possible that they would think such a thing? A little leaven.
Yes.
Leavens the whole lump. Verse 5, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying in is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Amen.
I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous. We can't escape the world. Yes, there's people around us that are these things. But to allow it to be amongst us and identify it as being a follower of Christ is what he's saying. If any man that is called a brother be these things, an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judges. Therefore put away from amongst yourselves that wicked person. A little leaven. We start saying it's okay. Not a big deal. The next thing you know, someone else is doing it. Or they're doing something different. And they may say, well, they can do that. Why can't I do this? And it grows and expands. And the next thing you know, you've just got free for all.
Yes. Lord, help us.
We stand on God's word. What he says,
yes.
What he has told us
yes.
is right. This isn't a rebuke. It's a warning to us.
Yes.
To remember that we can be deceived. We can be drawn away with it too. We can be swept into the ideas of the world, their thoughts. Matthew 24:24. This is Jesus warning us. For there shall, not maybe, there shall. It will happen. He says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And I feel like that's what's happening today. It's pressing in upon us. The false doctrines, the false ideas. Just say that we're okay. Just say that we're all right too. What does God's word say?
That's right.
What does God say about it?
Yes.
It's not about what I say. It's about what God says.
Yes.
Don't waver. Don't turn from the gospel that has been presented unto you.
Yes.
2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's start at verse 2. He tells Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables.
Yes.
I'm afraid that this does happen.
Yes.
That people church shop.
Yes.
to try to find something that fits them or fits their desires or their needs. Lord, help us. Do we have itching ears? You know, every one of us has people that are in our ear. At work, maybe in our families, people that we run into, our neighbors, they're in our ear with their thoughts about things, their ideas about things. And they may look at us and say, you know, you guys are doing too much. It's not all that serious. How serious is your soul? What has God said to you?
Yes.
What has He informed us of?
Oh, yes.
But it can wear on us. You hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. We can be deceived.
Yes.
If we have tickling ears, we can be deceived. And the enemy can draw us away and cause us to take another path. Eve listened long enough and she started thinking, wow, is a tree that's good for food? Wow, it'll make me wise. We can be deceived. You know, I don't know how many years ago it was where there were certain faith groups that were introducing the homosexual lifestyle to the pulpit. And a lot of people were against it. Didn't believe that it should happen. And I think of where we're at now. Just a little leaven. Leaven's the whole lump. I can't believe. Who would have ever thought that there would be a question about the marriage relationship?
Yes. True.
I know when I was young, I would have never dreamed it was possible.
Right.
But yet you have people who call themselves Christian.
That's right.
They believe such things. Are they still hearing God's word?
No.
We heard this morning, my sheep hear my voice.
Yes.
And they follow me. I can't believe what's happening in our world today. Children are being asked what gender they are.
Yes.
How could that even be a question?
My Lord, my God.
But that's the signs of the time.
Yes, it is.
We could say to ourselves, well, that it's impossible that it would come here or that people here would believe such things, but it's not impossible. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You question a little bit of God's word. You question a little bit of what He said and what we are standing on in the Word of God, and you won't know where you'll end up. I was in an environment that you could see the tide change just by the leader that was present. You would maybe have a whole congregation or a whole chapel of Baptists, and you change the leader, and next thing you know, you got a whole chapel of Pentecostal. Or a whole chapel of apostolic, or a whole chapel of Seventh Day Adventists, or may the Lord help us to follow God's word.
Amen.
And not follow an individual. He says that even if we or an angel tell you of another gospel, don't hear it. Don't receive it.
That's
Don't take it into your heart. 2 Timothy 3 and 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I think of another scripture where Paul told him, consider what I say, and the Lord teach you all things. Was Paul referring to himself when he said to continue in the things which you have learned? I believe he was telling him to continue in the things that God had showed him and taught him and instructed him in. And he says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. May the Lord help us to continue in what we have learned and what we have been taught. I appreciate the fact that the church hasn't wavered through many opportunities where it could have. Many opportunities have taken place over the years where the church could have changed. But it hasn't. Others have changed and have separated themselves, but the church of God has not changed. And I'm thankful for that, because we serve an unchanging God. It's only appropriate that we be unchanging as well, if we serve that God. I pray that the Lord would help us to value His Word.
Yes.
And to remember that it is God's Word.
Yes.
And that it will lead us and guide us and direct us into all truth. I pray that the Lord would help me, and may He help you as well, not to be deceived. Because the enemy is still at work, seeking to deceive us and to draw us away from the truth. Little by little, just a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. Pray for me.
By His command, all the grasses